Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to ask you to take everything away that's not from you and to use me as an instrument to share your word today. And Lord, that people might be encouraged by it and might take something home for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. On the 19th of September 2014, I bought my new car. And this was a big deal. You know, I was very happy, very excited. And I messaged random people that I had a car. Just, I have a car. And I was very excited for two reasons. Normally, girls, when they're small, now not all of them, but most girls dream about their wedding and how it's going to be and the beauty of it all. I didn't have that. I really had dreams about a car. And I was very happy that I finally had it. The second reason was because I was a full-time nurse. I was working. And by having this car, it meant that I didn't have to take the bus anymore. I had to take 3 buses and a train to get to work. And by having a car, I could just get in my car, get to work, and get back. It was amazing. To keep this beautiful, it was a Golf. It's a gray Golf, 97. It's the best car ever. And I wanted this car to stay beautiful on the inside and on the outside as I bought it. And so I had 3 rules. Rule number 1 was I asked passengers to please clean their feet before they came into the car. It was number 1. Number 2 was I tried to get as much rubbish and weight out of my car that was unnecessary. So if I ate something in the car, if someone brought something, I just asked them, please, don't leave it in the car, take it with you so the car is clean. And the third and last rule that I had for everyone else and for myself was to wash my car once in 2 weeks. I made these rules before I had the car, and I realized when I got the car that it was a bit difficult, but I did it. I did it. And when I sold my car when I came to New World, my car was still beautiful on the inside and outside. I made sure that friends knew these rules. Every time they came, they're like, yes, yes, we will clean our feet. If we go to the book of 1 Samuel, we'll find 1 Samuel after the book of Judges in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at 1 Samuel 17. I want you to go back in time with me. And I want you to imagine being part of the battlefield between the Philistines and Saul. The army of Saul. You're standing from a distance so you can see everything, and you are close enough to see both camps, but they can't see you, right? Imagine it. Maybe it's a bit difficult because it's a bit cold in here, but on that day it was warm, there was a battle going on, and you're looking at it. You've been standing there for a couple of days, and every day there comes a man out of the camp of the Philistines. And he was big. In the verse, in verse 4, it says, the man was named Goliath of Gath. He was 6 cubits and a span. If we translate that to nowadays, you would say this guy was a big guy. He was like 2 meters or I think, yeah, you could say 6 feet and 9 inches. Yeah, he was a big guy. And every day, this guy came out of this camp. And if you translate this to youth talk, you would say he would trash talk. So he would say stuff to get the Israelites to be scared. And he was succeeding because people were scared. Suddenly, because you're still watching the battlefield, suddenly a young man comes into Saul's army. And you notice him right away because he is not wearing an armor like the other soldiers. And you see him and he looks young and he looks very healthy and you want to get to know what's happening, because this is different. This never happened before. And you get closer, because this might get interesting. If you look at 1 Samuel 17, this is not the first time that David, because this young guy is David, that David comes into the camp and tries to bring food for his brothers. A chapter ago, David was anointed as king, but still, he was taking care of the sheep and going back and forth to give food to his brothers. And in chapter 17, it starts that David is there, and David hears what Goliath is saying to the people of Israel, and David gets very mad. In verse 17:26, please read with me, verse 26, David says, David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." So I think that David at this point is applying my first car rule. He is saying, well, David, Goliath, you have passed the boundary. We cannot have this. We cannot take this. And he is willing to say that to people. I think sometimes in our lives, there are boundaries that we have to set for other people. To know, well, you can be in my life and you can get in my car, but this is where you can go and set boundaries. I went to a high school with very large grounds. To get from the front gate to the back gate, you had to walk 10 minutes. And I still don't get it, but if something happened at the front gate in less than 10 minutes, so in less time that took you to walk to the back gate, everybody would know the gospel or the news that happened at the front gate. And I can imagine that is what's happening in the camp right now. They hear David talk, so this is how it goes. David comes into camp, he hears Goliath say something, David gets mad. David says something about it, his brother gets mad and tells him to shut up. David won't have it, won't shut up, so he keeps on talking. And eventually the whole camp is buzzing and Saul hears about it. In verse 37, Saul calls David and brings him over to his headquarters. And David, we know the story, David asks Saul to please let him go into battle with Goliath. Saul says, okay, but put on my army. In verse 38 and 39, please read with me, it says, Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I'm not used to them." So David removed them. I think at this moment, David is applying my car rule number two. He is getting stuff out of the way that's weighing him down. He has an armor that's not his, and he knows that if he goes into battle with this weight, he will not win this battle. Sometimes in our lives, we have things that have happened, something people said a couple of years ago, something that people have done, and we're still carrying it with us, and it's making our life a bit heavy. And before we go into battle, before we continue, we cannot do that with all the weight. So David is applying rule number two. I lived in Africa for a couple of months in 2013. And for my birthday and the birthday of my travel buddy, we got a trip to visit gorillas in Uganda. And one of the main rules was to bring 3 liters of water to the trip. And I had the 3 liters in my backpack, and I was already tired before we started the journey because it was so heavy. And I got to see the gorillas after 4 hours, but I do remember feeling like this was the worst time in my life because of all the weight and the heavy it made my journey to go up. David is applying rule number two. We continue the story, and we know how it goes. David goes into the battle, and in verse 40, he walks on the battlefield and sees Goliath. Goliath sees him, and I want to ask you to read with me from verse 41. The Philistine came out on and drew near to David with a shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." I think in these verses, we see what a glimpse of what God saw in David when he anointed him. I think in these verses, we can see too the relationship that David had with God. He knew what God could do. He was so certain of what God could do. And that's why he could go into the battle and do what he did. And I think he knew this because he applied my core rule number 3. He took time to wash his car once. And I don't think he did it once or twice a week. I think that David took time to daily cleanse his soul and walk and talk with God. I have a cousin, Melissa, and we are the same age. We were brought up together. We did a lot of stuff during our teens. And we moved from Curaçao, so from the Caribbean too, we moved from Curaçao to the Netherlands to study. And we know each other so well that sometimes we can sit in a room like this, and I will be standing here, and Melissa will be standing where Tyler is sitting in the back, and we would look at each other, and without saying anything, we would exactly know what the other one is thinking. Because we spend so much time together, we talk to each other all the time. And I think that's what David had with God. I think that the relationship they had. That even a 6 feet and 9 inches giant could not get him off track. The story continues, and we know how it ends. Goliath is killed. God, the Israelites win the battle. They're victorious. And I believe that David could truly and confidently do this because of the 3 things I already said. David set boundaries, and he asked people to respect these boundaries and to live by his boundaries too. Lesson number 2, he made sure to leave unnecessary weight behind. He took time to unload his life, unload his car, and to have a clean car every time he went on a journey. And rule number 3, and I think this is maybe the most important lesson that I learned from this story. David walked and talked with God daily, and he knew him, and that's why he could face his Goliath. I don't know what your Goliath is at this moment. It could be anything. We're so different. Anyone can have another Goliath. But whatever it is, God has a plan. And even though you might not see it, or your family or friends might not see it, because they didn't see it with David either when he was anointed. They didn't know. He has a plan, and he's working on it. I heard this past week, we had a week of spiritual emphasis, and old Newbolians came and they talked, and one of the guys said, maybe we are looking at what God, at the person we are now, but maybe God is not. Maybe God is looking at the person he knows we will become if we give him a chance in our life. I want to conclude with, let no one despise your youth, and you can fill it in, your older age, struggles, gender, or life choices, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, faith, and purity.